Notation before we close. Can we be on our feet? Thank you. With your Bible. Thank you. Can we be on our feet? And let's read our text from today. It's taken from, I'm waiting for us to be on our feet as we go to the next item in the church order for today. The church order for today. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
And again.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Father, we thank you. Because you have given us the opportunity to know your divine agenda. We want to go deeper into it, Lord. Open our ears of understanding and grant me utterance to present it in a way that everyone will understand what this agenda is all about. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we go through your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Reverently and avoid movement as much as possible. As we take another scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith.
Uh-huh.
As it is written,
uh-huh,
the just shall live by faith.
As it is written,
the just shall live by faith.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. Faith.
By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh.
So if the gospel of salvation is revealed from faith to faith, in the context that is written there, you can now see that the usage of the word faith there is revelation. And that makes the difference between acceptable worship and unacceptable worship. That makes a difference between truth and error. And that makes a difference between the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. And the revelation here, because salvation is a mystery. You don't just stay one side and say, I've got it. No, you must move on and on and on. The mystery of salvation will continually be made clearer and clearer and clearer until Christ comes to take us home. He is always doing something. He is always, from the day of Pentecost, God has been busy with the fulfillment of his agenda, his program. And he doesn't care whether you understand or not, it will not disturb him. Whatever Satan is doing, whatever man is doing, it does not disturb the program of God. Instead, whatever he doeth is only working out the purpose of God on earth here. Nothing more. And this revelation in this ministry, God has blessed us with a teaching ministry. The teacher of the fivefold order God has given us in this church. Hallelujah. God has blessed this ministry with gifts. With gifts. In the fivefold order in this ministry, we have teachers. In this ministry, there is a pastor.
That's right.
You don't argue it. Whether you argue it or not, I'm a pastor. Whether you accept me as your pastor or not, if you don't explain, why did they come here? Amen. And in this church, there are teachers. Not one teacher, teachers. Amen. Confirmed prophets are in this church. Whether you like them or not, God has put them here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, in the teaching ministry, everyone is put here for our benefit. Listen to us when we teach. Because you can't understand the mystery of redemption if there is no teaching ministry. Amen. And a pastor is also a teacher.
That's right.
Okay. Oh. And in this church, we have tried to look at this mystery of salvation in various areas. We have tried to let the people understand the reason for the virgin birth. Why will there be a virgin birth? It's a mystery. There is a reason for it. We have tried to let you understand the reason for why God himself had to come as Emmanuel to die. We explained that using Exodus 21. The law, they are very clear. Very clear. It's a law he was fulfilling himself. We have explained the reason for the new covenant. Why he had to do away with the old covenant and bring in another covenant. And the reason for the new covenant is what we are also sharing today, the reason for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the reason for the new covenant. The reason for the new covenant is the reason for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There are other reasons, but let's look at it from our text. Again, it says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive power. The power to do what? To be witnesses unto me all over the world. And we have just finished the baptism of the Holy Ghost program. We have received a power. Now, I title this message, it is time to witness. It is time to witness. And I pray that I will present it in a way that you will not see it as a commandment, but you will see it as the purpose of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, it's not a commandment to go and witness. It is a purpose for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, who is a witness? The word witness is an English word. It means one that has knowledge of a development from observation or experience. That's the meaning of a witness. A witness is anyone that has knowledge of a development from, how does he have the knowledge? From either something he observed or what he himself has experienced. A witness is one that gives attestation of a fact or event. It is called an eyewitness. If we read Luke chapter 1 from verse 1, 2, 3, 4, Luke chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4.
For as much as many have...
This is Luke. Yes?
For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses.
Who were they?
Eyewitnesses.
Who were they?
Eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding
Perfect understanding
of all things from the very first.
To do what?
To write unto thee.
Now he can also witness. Most excellent Theophilus.
That thou mightest know the sanctity of those things.
So that you will know these things you are hearing, you are seeing, it is certain. It is a fact. Therefore, a witness is one that gives evidence. A witness is one that gives evidence. There are true witnesses and there are false witnesses. So let's contrast the two, the true and the false. A true witness gives reliable evidence with verifiable proofs. I repeat, this is how you know a true witness. That witness gives reliable evidence. Why is his evidence reliable? It's because his proofs are verifiable. You can verify what he's saying. But a false witness, however, gives unreliable evidence. His evidence is unreliable because the evidence lacks verifiable proof. Can't prove it. So there's nothing to confirm that what he's claiming is true. So in actually, when you read Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it's actually saying, ye shall receive verifiable proof, and ye shall witness for me. So if I paraphrase that Acts 1:8 again, ye shall receive power. There is, ye shall receive verifiable proofs, verifiable evidence, verifiable proof. After you receive what can be verified, then you will witness for me. Witness what? To witness the purpose of the cross of Jesus. And the witness for the cross of Jesus is not speaking in tongue. It's more than that. Let's go a little bit deeper. In the Garden of Eden, if you notice, there was no physical building in the Garden of Eden called the Temple of God, where people will go and worship, where people will go and meet with God. God himself was with them. Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, God was with them. But after they committed sin, God was no longer with them. Therefore, they could not meet with God as before. And when they left Egypt, God began the process of fellowshipping again with man. And he started by telling Moses to build a tabernacle. And he gave all the description. And in that tabernacle, there were three parts of that tabernacle: the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies had the Ark of the Covenant with three things inside the Ark: the tablets of the commandment that God used his finger by himself to write, gave it to Moses to bring it to them; the manna that they were eating, part of it was put in, preserved and kept in that ark; and the third thing was the budded rod of Aaron. It was all there in the ark. And how they were to carry that ark, they were to move from place to place. It has served so many purposes, but for the purpose of my exhortation now, let me limit myself. Maybe one day we'll look at that ark again very well. You will soon see that that ark represented you and me. It had three parts. If we are the temple of God, we also have three parts: the body, the soul, and the spirit.
That's right.
But we'll look at it so that you understand who you are. Praise the Lord. And that ark there brought down the presence of God. No man had access to it. The ark there, wherever the ark was kept, it was supposed to represent in the tabernacle. It was supposed to, the presence of God was supposed to be there. There, only the high priest had access into the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was. On behalf of the people, God still could not have fellowship directly with man on earth here, as it was in the Garden of Eden. But he's walking towards restoring us back to what happened in the Garden of Eden. That is a mystery I want you to understand about what happened on the cross of Calvary, about what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is all about. Later on, Solomon built a temple. So the ark moved from a tabernacle to a temple. The temple was more permanent, and when it was finished, these same three parts of the temple was created. The tabernacle was created. We are a type of the tabernacle where the ark of God is kept. We are a type of the tabernacle where the ark of God is kept. Like I said, three parts of that tabernacle. The same thing was displayed in the temple. We had also the Holy of Holies separated by a veil, as Moses was instructed. And the day the ark was brought in and the temple was rededicated, Solomon dedicated the temple, the presence of God came down so much. And we know the history is there in the Bible. And the ark, praise the Lord, the presence of God came down, but still a veil separated him from man. For very obvious reasons, because of our sins, the perfect sacrifice was not yet offered. So God was separated from the consequences of our sins, the consequence of our sins. And note that that temple was built in the city of Jerusalem, and anybody that wanted to meet with God has to travel to Jerusalem. That is where he placed his name. That is where he placed his glory. And that was the only place he could meet with man. If you want to meet with the creator of the heavens and the earth, you must travel to Jerusalem. But sin again made God to depart from that temple. When the children of Israel lived the kind of life they lived, they were desecrating that temple and everything. I think it's in Ezekiel chapter 10 where you saw that Ezekiel saw the vision. If you read in verse 18 and verse 19, Ezekiel saw the vision of the angels that came and removed the glory. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims.